Hey, welcome to the podcast, everybody. It's Corey from A Hazy Reaction, and I got one of my guest hosts on here, of course. It's none other than Mike, Money Mike.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Long time no see, Mike.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while. You know, I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back, man, because I got some really good videos that I've been reacting to. And with that being said, now that I have a second person on here with me, of course, yourself, my buddy, who I've known for 30 years, it's nice to have somebody back on here talking with me and going through this this process of reacting to videos and giving our two cents to it, because you know, two heads are better than definitely. One, as I always say.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad to be back. It's been a long time. Got a new system, got a new little area to get the podcast out. Looking forward to watching some videos, and you know, hopefully we get to see what's and I just want to point out to everybody, this is not porn. that is a Japanese flower. I don't want everybody thinking I'm a pervert on day one. That would be a bad way to start.
That's so funny. After a year gone away, we're already off to the start of porn.
Yeah, it looks like I got an old negative from the 20s or something. Some people doing it. You know, so.
Well, I can tell you right now, the first video we're going to get started into, everybody, I want you guys to chime in the comments as you see fit. And it's why tipping is so out of control in the U.S. Let's get this party started.
You know what's so funny? When you first said that, I thought you said we were going to be talking about wife tipping, like cow tipping. Like I said, like there's something going on in the country I didn't know about. Guys are just walking over to the wife and tipping them over or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow. I've never heard of that, but that'd be pretty funny.
I didn't either. That's what I thought we were talking about, though. I thought that was like, wow. I said, wow, a new phenomenon. I had no idea.
That happens in Kentucky.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, wife tipping, you know?
That's so funny. But the name of the video is Why Tipping is So Out of Control in the U.S. So let's get started on it. It's a pretty short, relatively short video, so let's do it.
When was the last time you purchased something and you weren't asked for a tip? Yeah, I can't remember either.
Tipping culture has gotten out of control. I get up to the pay window and she's like, how much do you want to tip? What am I going to tip you for? I'm in the drive-thru. Oh my God.
Tips have been on the rise for decades. During the 1950s, people commonly tipped 10% of the bill. By the 1970s and 1980s, that jumped to 15%. Today, people tip anywhere from 15 to 25%. According to one 2022 survey, consumers said they tipped more than 21% on average.
Nowadays, there are people who argue 20% is kind of a cheap tip.
While the percentage that consumers are tipping at full-service restaurants in the past couple of years has remained about the same, in the fourth quarter of 2022, the number of tips provided at full-service restaurants grew 17%. Meanwhile, the tip frequency at quick service restaurants such as coffee shops and fast food chains rose 16% during the same time period.
What we're seeing now nationwide is something that is known as tipflation. At every opportunity, we're being presented with a tablet that's asking us how much we'd like to tip.
In many cases, not only replacing the old-fashioned tip jars that you could feel good about throwing some spare change into, but actually suggesting tip amounts, often right in front of the employee receiving that tip. Not to mention also your dinner date and the dozen or so people standing behind you in line.
And it's gone beyond just the tablets. The other day I was using the Hopper app to book a hotel, and it wasn't until I confirmed my payment that I realized my hotel was $10 more expensive. It turns out, Hopper assumed I wanted to add a tip, and I had to go back to a prior page in order to opt out.
Tipflation refers to not just that we're tipping more, but we're tipping everyone for everything.
You're being guilted into tipping on something that is not technically a service. It's someone simply doing their job. In those situations, consumers are feeling resentful. Where do you draw the line?
TIP stands for To Ensure Promptness. Tipping may go back as far as the Roman era, but according to most experts, the practice likely has its origins in medieval Europe.
Noblemen taking passage on roads would throw coins to the rubble to ensure safe passage. One theory is that it evolved in eating and drinking establishments as a way to forestall envy, that when you're eating and drinking, you're having fun, and the people who are serving you are not.
Fast forward to the 19th century, when waiters who received a full wage went on strike demanding higher wages, they were replaced with women who employers could pay less. A decade later, there was the population of newly freed slaves. The idea from these restaurant owners was that they were giving the luxury or privilege of a white person's tips. That was, without a full wage.
Ironically, as tipping exploded in the United States, it became less common in Europe and was replaced with service charges.
While the first federal minimum wage law was passed in 1938, it wasn't until almost three decades later when the tip minimum wage was established. In 1991, the federal minimum wage for tipped employees was set at $2.13, which is what it remains at as of March 2023.
As far as I know, the United States is the only country that exempts tipped workers from having to receive the full minimum wage.
In 43 states, it is legal to pay tipped workers less than the standard minimum wage, because tips presumably make up that difference.
You would imagine if you were there with six or seven people, the waiter, they're busting their butt for you because it's just six or seven people. So to give them a tip, I understand. But what in the case of Starbucks, when you walk up to the counter, you stand at the counter for the drink, but yet they'll turn around that little machine like they just showed, the thing for your debit card, and it'll say a tip, and they do it right in front of the person who's working. So you have kind of guilty complex, you know? So you feel kind of guilty, but like, oh, damn, they didn't do a good job. But if you go to Asian countries, I do want to add to that. If you go to Asian countries, you know, it's kind of insulting to tip. European, I think, too.
Really?
The Asian countries, I know, like Japan and China, you don't tip. You just get your change back and go, because you're paying them for a service, and that service is the food or the waitressing, but you don't necessarily tip them. Here's the biggest thing to me about tipping. I don't mind tipping. As a matter of fact, like I said, my son's graduation, we went to a fancy restaurant at the Bellagio on the Strip. It's expensive. So when you're spending like $500 on a meal and you have six people with you, or seven people, $500-$600, I think you should tip. I think that the people are really busting their butt. They were for us. I mean, they were always catering to our needs. They were constantly coming up and checking on us. They always kept our water filled, our drinks filled. Now, at Applebee's, you can say the same thing. They're working for the tips. As long as they come by and check up on you, I don't mind doing gratuity, right? Now, we typically in my family, or just me and the wifey, we've known to tip like 20%. It's understandable. I think 5% is too low. It's really nothing. You know, when you have $100 and you only tip 5%, $5, it's just like, really? But to tip a little better than that, I think that shows them a little something, because they do have to live. You went on a cruise, right? So you were tipping, I imagine.
Well, see, that's the thing I was going to bring up. Is I just went on a cruise, and you have to pre-tip on a cruise. What I understand, and these people on the cruise ships, they bust their ass. I mean, I've seen them bust their ass more than in a restaurant. I mean, these people are nonstop, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And so you don't really feel bad about tipping, you know? But you do have the option mm-hmm. at the end of the cruise. You know, if for any reason you were unhappy, you can't go and say, hey, listen, I want this money back, you know. Mm-hmm. But
that's interesting.
Yeah, I always thought of the word tips as to ensure proper service.
Yes.
That's the acronym I've always heard it for. And like for me, I can honestly say with my opinion, it's because I'm a door dasher. That's okay. My main income. I do door dashing, so I rely on tips. And if I look and I see, because I know that DoorDash's minimum order is $2.50, right? You know, it's a $2.50. So anything above that technically means, you know, DoorDash is paying more, or the people are giving me a tip, you know? So when I see an order, right, I have a feeling that there's a tip in there. I don't mind doing extra, especially if it's like a high tip. Like, you know, like if the order you know, let's say I'm making $18 and I'm going to a grocery store to go pick up like four items, right? Which I is common, and it's like $18. I'm like, hey man, this person is tipping me pretty good. So I ahead of time try to go out of my way to make sure that I. But if it's an order like for high school kids, where I get one and it's like, because you got a certain percentage. It's a long story, but there's like a short story. There's a percentage you don't want to go too high with, and so you have to accept certain orders, and even if they're crappy, and you know, during the summertime, or not summertime, but during like the fall, you'll get some that are like $3.50, $4, and you know it's like high school kids during lunch, and the minimum is $2.50. So like you're lucky if they're leaving you a tip, but you go there and you find out they don't leave you a tip, you know. Yeah, it's kind of disappointing, but I think as a DoorDasher, I think it's important to receive tips because gas is expensive and there's a lot of maintenance involved with your vehicle. So I think the tips are with that, but I think, you know, DoorDash also takes advantage of employees, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that the tips do help offset the cost of what they're paying you, but yeah, I'm with you. A 18-year-old kid, or they're adults technically, but a 17, 18-year-old kid, can you really expect them to tip that much, really? Compared to somebody who's ordering $200 worth of groceries. That's a different story. I would also add in as to the fact of going to restaurants. Like I said, if you go to like a, let's say a Starbucks, a coffee house, a McDonald's, you know, something weird like that, and they have a tip jar out. If it's one of those jars that say for the March of Dimes, if it's one of those jars that say for St. Jude's Hospital for disabled children, I got it. But when you go to a mom and pop restaurant, or you go to one of those restaurants that do not promote that, like McDonald's, because you know they're big proponents of like the Ronald McDonald House and things like that. Yeah. They always have those out, even out by the drive-thru. However, I will say, I'm laughing because I was at this restaurant. It's called it's like Hawaiian barbecue, those L&L Hawaiian barbecue places. You go in there, you order, they make your food back there on the grill, but they don't bring you out anything. You're just standing there, or you go sit down and they'll call you. They'll ask you for your name. And they'll call your name and you go pick up your food. Now I'm going to pick it up. I came in to order it. They don't have a drive-thru. I sit there and wait for the food. And then I pick it up, and you have a tip jar, or you have it on your console, your point of sales machine, right?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a company I think is called Bucky's. Like Bucky's, their model's like a beaver wearing a baseball cap with some teeth. And Bucky's is known for, I think they're not allowed to tip their employees. I think, I could be wrong, like I said, but they pay their employees like 18 to 20 something dollars an hour. They're like a In-N-Out Burger type of place.
Oh, where they actually, guys. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, like Chick-fil-A, where they pay their employees up in the 20s. Some they can make like 20 something dollars an hour, you know, doing fast food, enough that to make a living in today's society, you know, which is not the best life. You know, nowadays you need to make almost $50 an hour, man, to really live a prosperous life, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But a little mom and pop store, maybe it's more justified. But I would argue that still it's funny that when you walk up to the counter, you order the food, they hand you the food at the counter, they have not done nothing extraordinary to warrant a tip. Now, I do understand you go in with a $20 bill and your order comes out to $19, throw the dollar in the chip jar. But some people don't want to, because people earn that money. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things, like it's a balance. It's like if you do it, you do it. If you don't, you don't. But I just don't think it's warranted sometimes.
We've seen the videos of the guys that have, you know, money, and, you know, they're millionaires, whatever, you know, and they go into like restaurants and they ask the waitress, or what's like the highest tip you ever got before or something like that. And they'll be like, oh, I got like maybe $50. And the guy says, well, how much would you like? Give me a number. You know what I mean? And she'd be like, oh, yeah. And he's like, boom, 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 boom. It just hands her, you know. Or the video where you get like a church group or some kind of like Facebook group or something like that, where they all go to a restaurant. They got a waitress, man. It's like 10 people, but everybody gives her like $100. Yeah. They put it into, like, you know what I mean? So at the end, she gets like $1,100 tip or something. You know what I mean? know, something that's a life-changing thing for, not life-changing, but could help rescue somebody in a situation.
I would argue that it can be life-changing. What if it's like $1,500 is enough to pay their rent? That's
Because that's what I'm saying. That's why I kind of changed my mind.
For another month at least. Because people do struggle. I mean, not everybody's meant to be rich. I mean, should people try? Absolutely. But not everybody's going to achieve it. But you can try. But if everybody, can you imagine that? If everybody was a millionaire, then what? Nothing would get done in the United States. Nobody would be working as baristas. Nobody would be working at McDonald's. Nobody would be working at Walmart.
We might get grilled for this, but I don't honestly think that bartenders should be getting tipped. I don't like when I go to, like, to get a drink, I don't think I should have to pay $15 for a cocktail and then feel like I have to give the bartender the rest, you know, $5 just because he made me a drink, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, you know, bartenders work hard and all that kind of stuff. It's another thing, like the bar should take care of, the bartender should be paid well to mix drinks for people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like on the cruise ship, I gave the guys a buck, you know, when they would make a drink or whatever. But there's just so, it's like everybody feels like you have to be tipped for everything. Like when I went on the cruise and got to the airport or to the parking lot to catch the shuttle to the airport, I carried my own bag on, you know, but the guy felt like he wanted to try to rush and grab my bag and bring it on because he wanted me to give him a tip. You know what I mean? I'm like, I can carry my own little bag up the steps. You know what I mean? It's just everybody feels like they need a tip nowadays, you know, and it is getting kind of out of hand, you know?
Now, I will say that, a lot of places it's warranted. Like if you go to a hotel, there's the bellhops, you know? They put your bags on the cart and take them up to your room. That's understandable. Somebody bringing you food to your bedroom in the middle of the night because you wanted to order in room service, it's understandable. They're doing something. They're bringing up food from the place that I could easily go and get the food from. But when I walk into a restaurant, I just think it's funny. When I see a tip jar here, it's like, you stand behind the counter. You're not a waitress at a Starbucks. You're not a waitress at, like I said, a China Go-Go. You're there just to take the order. They cook it up and they give it to you. It's delicious food. I grant it, but I would argue that, like they said, this tipflation, they said in the video, it is tipflation because it went up from 5% to 10% to 15%. Now it's like you'll look at that machine and that machine, they'll turn it around and you'll see 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 or other amount. You know, things like that.
I know.
Like
it gets out of hand.
You know, that's a, man, that's
good. I'm a trained chef, and that's the reason why I got out of restaurant work, to be honest with you. I remember one time. No, you don't get tips. You know what I mean? I remember one time I was working at this semi-fine dining restaurant called Arvada Grill here in Colorado. It's no longer in business. And it was like Friday night. We're all having our shift drink at the end of the night. You know, it's like 11:30, 12 o'clock, something like that. I forgot what time it was. And the waitresses, everybody's counting their tips, and they're like 250, 275, you know, right? I'm like, you just made $275 on your shift tonight, and they're not working 8-hour shifts. They were doing like waitresses were only doing like four or five-hour shifts, you know what I mean? They'll come on, somebody will work a morning shift, somebody will work an evening shift, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I was the chef, sous chef, actually, not the chef, but I was the sous chef of this restaurant. And I was on salary, and I would end up, I was making $800 a week, but I was pretty good back then. But I was working, you know, 70 hours a week, you know? I mean, it was crazy, man. I was there, like, all the time. It ended up coming down to, like, me making, like, $10 an hour if you really broke it down. And I never got no tips. You know, they never share tips, you know, with the chefs. You know, the cooks never got no tips. And that was one thing I just didn't like, man. That's when it comes to tipping in restaurants, I always believe that the waitresses should tip out the chefs, man. I had a friend of mine who was a valet at the MGM. I didn't really know him well, but he was a friend of mine in Las Vegas when I was living out there. It was like in 08, right?
Yeah.
And he was telling me that one night, and he was telling me that those jobs, you can't just like, they don't apply them, and you know, they don't advertise for them in Craigslist. It's not just like a job you can say, oh, I'm applying for the ad. You know, you got to know somebody to get those jobs, because these guys make, some of them can make $100,000+ a year. You know what I mean? As valets for these big casinos, you know, right?
Yeah.
So he's telling me one night, man, he said this, it was like a Western, like one of those movies, like this guy, this Western guy comes in, man, like a Cadillac, stretched open Cadillac, man, like, or one of those like convertible Cadillacs, you know what I mean? Like, it's like he said, it was picture it just like in a movie, man, with the horns on the front. You know what I mean? You know, you see that like a Texas movie, right? Picture that, right? He said, it's just like that, Mike. He told me, man, this guy comes up, man. I get his car, man. I pull it in. Guy goes, I get it, man. Bring it around to him, right? And all of a sudden, boom, man. He flips me this chip, man. And I open up my hand, dude. It was a $500 freaking chip, dude, man. I've seen a video of a young Elon Musk when he's got like a, she's got to be like a model, man. He's got like this hot model chick, young girl hanging off his back. He's young at this point, dude. Big old forehead and shit. I mean, he's got a five head in this. It's not even a forehead. It's a five head in this video, man, right? But he's young, dude. He's got to be like in his mid-30s or something, right? Mm-hmm. And he's talking about how there's like only 86 Bugattis in, you know, in the world, you know what I mean? There's only like so many made, you know? And he said, I'm going to own one, you know? And then all of a sudden he's standing there and he's got this like hot model chick, like hugging him from behind and hanging on him. And he's standing there all proud as he's got this container truck unloading this Bugatti in front of him. And he's like, you know, this is one of the moments of his life. He said, you know, as he's thinking, you know, he made it happen, man. You know, he actually owned a Bugatti, but technically there's only so many in the world. You know what I mean? It's a cool video of
that was when he owned PayPal, huh?
I think it was. It was like when he was really in his 30s. He was young in this video.
PayPal, yeah. I can imagine so, man. I mean, it does take a little bit of drive and effort, but it takes a lot of drive, a lot of effort to get what you want. But yeah, that's good stuff, man. I have no issues with what he did. That's dope, though, man. A Bugatti.
Well, I just thought of, like, you know, when you said a Bugatti, I just saw the video and I was just thinking, man, you know.
And some of those things cost like $5 million, maybe even $10 million. I don't know the exact price of them, man.
Video of a Sheik.
Cars cost more than your home. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, this dude's like in Dubai, man. I don't know if it's authentic or not, but there's like this really fancy, like multi-million dollar car dealership that's in like Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And this Sheik comes walking in, you know, and he tells the guy, he's like, I got three wives and they all need a car. And he's like, show me something. And he goes, well, we got this one here. We got this one here. We got this one. He goes, all right, wrap them up. I take all three, you know, just like that, dude. Like, just don't even test drive them. Don't even like look inside of them or nothing. He just looks at them and goes, okay, I'll take all three. You know, it was like $30 million for the cars.
According to the Quran, they're supposed to treat all their wives equally. So
that's what I'm saying,
you
man.
You can't it's get like one Bugatti and one station wagon.
You know, that's right. You get an electric bike and you get the Bugatti, right?
No, you get a hoverboard, my dear. You get a hoverboard. I saved the Rolls Royce for my more beautiful wife.
Yeah. And the ugly one there, you get a skateboard.
Oh, leave it alone. She's fertile. That's why I married her.
I said, work the legs.
Oh, geez.
You know, you've heard of Dubai and Abu Dhabi, of course, right?
Yes.
Did you know the difference between Dubai and Abu Dhabi?
No.
Dubai absolutely does not allow their citizens to watch the Flintstones on television, and Abu Dhabi do.
Abu Dhabi do.
And Abu Dhabi do, bro. Abu Dhabi do, man.
Oh. Abu Dhabi
do. Abu Dhabi do, man.
That is so funny, man. That is funny.
You know?
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, I just want to go off subject real quick. I just got to brag a little bit because I'm proud of myself. I am doing day trading, as I told you.
Yeah.
And today I actually had my second trade. My first trade on a platform called TradingView, I lost $160, but it's paper money. You know what I mean? I'm learning.
Yep.
But I did a trade today where I did a little bit more research on it, found it off of Scanner Corey, and placed the stop loss and where my profit is, my out from my profit. And I let it ride. to about an hour before it closed because I didn't want to let it go overnight. And I made a $50 profit, man.
That's
$50 profit, man. You know, because I started it. Yeah, I started it. It shot right up to $30, and then it just dropped. If you look at it on the scope, it just dropped and went down into the negative. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to let it ride. It got down to my stop loss, which is at $90. It shot up and kind of just creeped throughout the day. And then I came back from doing my earlier shift this afternoon, and it was up to $50, man. So I took the profit, you know. So
isn't letting it nice ride. Feeling? Yeah. That's a nice feeling, man. Yeah.
But it's, you know, play money, and I'm still in the hole with the play money. But, it you know, it's cool to be learning, you know.
Absolutely. I use Webull, and they have paper trading too, just to get your practice. And they'll start you out with like $5,000, but it's all paper money just to see how well you fare. Now, I have a question about the trading you did. Which stocks were you invested in, or was it multiple?
I just, what I did is I have my laptop, I have TradingView on. And TradingView is a platform that I like so far over TD Ameritrade and TradeStation are the ones that I've tried. Because you can set on TradingView, you can set an out for your profit. Like you can set a profit and you can set a stop loss. It gives you the option like right there as you make the when you make the buy, you know. And that's nice. You know, I just like the platform, the way it's set up. It's really easy, you know, to set it up to say, hey, listen, okay, I'm going to try to make $350. This is how much money it's going to cost me to do it. Boom. And then I'm going to do a 1-to-3 ratio and figure about $100 is what I'm going to risk. That's my risk on this. They say you should do 1-2% of what your capital is, like what you've got, you know, your account balance. So, you know, you got 10,000, you know, use 100, you know, you got 1,000, use, you know, et cetera, right? $10, whatever. But if you're doing 1 or 2%, but I just kind of said, hey, listen, I'm gonna try to go for 350. It was at $3 some change, it's 366 or something like that. I said, hey, I'm gonna go try to make it up to $4. My stop was down $90, and I did that ratio 1-to-3, and it shot up, came down, shot back up, went, and then I came back. I was like an hour from close, and I said, hey, listen, instead of letting it go overnight, if I would have just let it go to close, if I could have set a to close stop somehow,
yeah,
it actually went up higher. I probably would have made 70. I think it would have been, I pulled, but I think it would have been like $70 I would have made or something, because it actually went higher from where I stopped and pulled out. It kept on going, man. It didn't quite make it to four, but it did go up another like 3 cents or something like that, which would have been like an extra $20 because I bought 1,000 shares, you know.
So let me ask you a question. Are you going back tomorrow, the drawing board, first thing in the morning and doing it again?
Well, the market's closed now.
In the morning.
Yeah, today's Friday, right?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, today's Friday. Never mind. The stock
market. Yeah, but on Monday. Yeah, but let me tell you what I did. I went off track because you were asking me. My bad. So what I do is on my Mac, I have TD Ameritrade set up, man. And I have it where I've watched the video of this Asian woman, man, named Shay, I think her name is, on a podcast called The Humble Trader. And she's really cool, man. She's pretty and she's funny, you know, and she's educated. She seems like she knows she's what she's pretty. Talking about. Well, she is, man. She's, you know, I don't know what her, Chinese maybe or something like that, dude, right? She's brunette. She's pretty to look at, man. So she just makes the videos entertaining to watch, you know, and she's informative, man. So
that's awesome.
But, so I was watching a video that she taught how to set up TD Ameritrade, man, where I can break it up into quadrants and stuff and have them locked together and link them together. You know what I mean? So I can have like, like certain graphs and certain things, you know, time dates open and stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
So, but TD Ameritrade runs a little bit farther behind on actual time and compared to, TradingView. TradingView, okay. I think it was a little bit more up to date, but TradingView is also one that you can actually get more information, and they have a program where you sign up monthly. They got like the $45 a month, like pro, and then they got like the $12 a month basic, you know, in between, you know. But so I went on to TD Ameritrade, and from watching the video from the Humble Trader, she showed me how to set up scans. So I ran a scanner. Scans. And I looked for a high percentage increase, and I found this one CYH, I think it was called something Health Central Health Administration or something like that, and it was up like at the time it was up like 11 or 12%, something, you know, it was like a jumper at the time. So I just watched it a little bit, and I said, okay, you know. It was projected to go up to $4 by analysts and all this other kind of stuff when you start reading the little news tidbits and information that it has. But yeah, Corey, I just, you know, there's a lot to learn in this. You know, when you watch these guys that say, you know, they're successful. I made $8,000 today. I made $10,000 today. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, man. But it's like, you know, that's years of training. You know what I mean? You know, but it's like, yeah, anything, absolutely, man. Anything, yeah, with years of training, you know, you do years of training in the NBA, you're going to be making. Shaq at one time was making $8,000 a second with his contract. They broke it down. I remember watching on the news one time, they broke down Shaq's contract, man, for the season, the amount of time he played on the court to what his actual contract was. And it was $8,000 a second is what he was being paid.
That's insane.
Imagine that, dude. That's what his contract was. $8,000 a second, man.
That's insane. A second. Wow. That's crazy.
$8,000 a second.
That dude retired after one game.
Yeah. But I'm just like, yeah, right. You know, but so yeah, there's a lot involved in it. But once you get good at it, you know, there's an opportunity to make some money, man. There's people that make real money, you know.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And one thing I found out about trading, I don't know much about it because I'm not a financial advisor, planner, anything like that, or know anything about the stock market to the degree of like these guys that work in Wall Street and whatnot. But I have saw a couple of videos like people doing Forex, foreign exchange and stuff like that. And it takes a little bit of know-how because they're only giving you tidbits. You know, people have a 30-minute video, but they only give you like 5 minutes of useful information. The rest would be a lot of talking and not a lot of not understanding, like you said, of the highs and the lows, peaks, and learning the candle system versus this system, you know.
Well, they always say, you know, if these guys really had true secrets, how come they're not, you know, leaders of hedge funds? You know what I mean? How come they're not dealing with millions of dollars and billions of dollars worth of, you know, people's money and stuff? If they got these secrets that, you know, that make money. It's like everybody's got a gimmick, you know. And what I did today is I just
exactly what it is.
I just watched the numbers, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I'm becoming better at this. I'm learning it. You would have taken from when the day I got off the cruise back on April 1st till, you know, like to now, I've learned a lot, you know, from reading and listening and doing. But there's still a lot to do in this. It's like being a doctor. It's like, you know, I kind of joked around when I was in a class with this dude and I told him, I said, man, it's like Kung Fu, man. I mean, really think about it. It's like Kung Fu, you know, you got Forex, right? Yeah. You know, you got Forex style, man. And then you got stocks, you know what I'm saying? Right.
Right. You got stocks, you got CDs. You know?
Yeah. No, you got all this, you know, and there's all this stuff that you can learn and master. And if you're disciplined with it, you know what I'm saying? It's like learning strategy and just learn it, man. You know, but see, the cool thing about it is it's like the market. The market is like in real life. If you take a kung fu master and he meets a cage fighter in real life, that cage fighter is going to whoop this, you know, out of that kung fu fighter.
That's very true.
And that's the thing, man. You can master it like a kung fu, but the market is going to be like that MMA fighter, but you know what I'm saying, man? So you got to learn to take that kung fu, man.
That's a nice segue into something I wanted to talk to you about. I have a video that we're going to watch sometime, I don't know, maybe next week, next month or something, but it is about fake masters, kung fu masters. So I'm glad you brought that up. That was a good segue.
Oh, man, what do they call that, man? They have a name for it, man.
For the fake kung fu masters?
They call it... It'll come to me, man. It's like, you know, like not fake foo or something like that. What do they call it, man?
Fake foo. I don't know.
Junk foo or something like that or something like that. Or
you know what foo I think about? I got to be honest with you. You know what I think about? I think about when I was young in the 80s and the early 90s. And watch those Kung Fu movie theaters shows. Remember Kung Fu Theater?
Where the guy I'm watching one right now as I'm watching you, because on the screen in front of me, it's showing a live preview compared to what the screen I'm looking at you, and there's a small slight delay. So as you're talking on the right, I'm watching you live as you talk, but I'm looking at the delay on the left, and it's like,
you want to know something funny, that yours don't have a delay, so that's coming on your end. I know, it's all, because it's almost all my, like, it's
a, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you
exactly.
Go to hell.
Godzilla.
My 4X technique is better than yours.
You buy this stock. Options.
Watch how this candle dips.
He sorted me.
It's so funny, but it's so true. What
you say? I would like to thank everyone for listening, and we will see you soon.